A un primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Pick and Pop Podcast. I am your host, Sam Dusenberry. Follow me on Twitter at the Sam D, T-H-E-E-S-A-M-D. ShillFreeSports.com is the site. SoundCloud.com/ShillFreeSports is where you're listening. Soon to be on iTunes, search for the Pick and Pop Podcast. Well, goddamn, it's been a minute. I've been trying to low-key see when to pop on, when to jump in and give you guys a take, pop in and check in with you guys to see what you guys are thinking about these finals. And good Lord, we got a game seven. I'm so happy we have a game seven. And I'm not just happy because I predicted Cavs in seven way back when, before the series started. It's not because of that. I'm so happy we have a game seven because this is a game seven that I care about. In my lifetime, there have been a few game sevens, not a lot, a handful. I got into hardcore keeping up with basketball, professional basketball, in like the late 80s. So let's say like 88, 89. Let's just go from 89, right? There's only been 1, 2, 3, 4 game sevens before tonight's game seven. Four. And out of those four, the most memorable one, and it's for pure hatred and vitriol reasons, is the Rockets taking down the Knicks in seven. And that's just because I could ride my boys all summer about how John Starks spit the bin in game seven. So it wasn't even like I was highly anticipating it. I just love the fact that I was surrounded by Knicks fans being a Bulls fan growing up. And I got yet another thing, besides the fact that, you know, Jordan always dominated the Knicks, I had something else to add to my arsenal of Nick insults. And that was John Starks. What was it, 2 for 18? Single-handedly handing the Houston Rockets a championship. John Starks. So that was in 94. Let's fast forward. You got the Spurs with the next game seven. Spurs took down the Pistons in 2005, which was a forgettable NBA Finals. Forgettable. I mean, that was the year after Rashid went to the Pistons and helped them get that championship with Chauncey Billups being the Finals MVP. Then the Spurs, in one of the worst finals you would ever see, Spurs took down the Pistons in Game 7, and nobody seemed to care. People could not wait for that series to be over. Then the next one wasn't until 2010. Lakers-Celtics. And like the rematch, Kobe getting that second ring, that second of five. His second championship without Shaq, beating Boston in seven. And again, not memorable. The year before was memorable because that was like the first big three of the millennial generation put together, with KG being traded and Ray Allen finding their way to Boston and putting that whole thing together with a young Rondo and getting that championship. Paul Pierce being wheeled out in a wheelchair, then all of a sudden hobbling back onto the court and going nuts like nothing ever happened. That was memorable for things that weren't really involving the game, the play of the game, the quality of the game. Then a couple years later, which is now a couple of years ago, 2013, Spurs Heat, big one. Ray Allen hits the three, extends the series. LeBron gets his second championship. D-Wade his third. Heat over the Spurs in seven. And now we got tonight. And tonight's the most important out of all those. Because there's so many different storylines that aren't even involving the game. The game of play's been great. Yes, there's been blowouts, but it hasn't been blowouts from the top like first quarter, it's a wrap. The majority of these games have been relatively manageable going into the third quarter, and then somebody goes on a run and it's all she wrote. But this game seven, LeBron bringing his team back from 3-1. Now, I'm going to pull up a stat here and always find it interesting when people like to say things about Bron. Ever since Klay Thompson had a subtle jab at LeBron in his press conference, saying, you know, maybe LeBron's not man enough. He's a little bit too sensitive because, you know, Draymond called him a bitch on the court and reiterated saying so to LeBron's face. LeBron wasn't having that, took offense to that. So Klay and a couple other dubs in their press conferences had a little shade towards LeBron. Now, mind you, since that happened, which was, you know, preview of Game 5, which was not going to have Draymond, because Draymond got suspended for, you know, amongst other things, yet another kick in the balls, another example of why he is the number two habitual nut hitter in the association. Previewing Game 5, Klay drops the shade. And since then, so Game 5, Game 6, you want to know what LeBron's done? In those two games, mind you, just two games, 82 points, 24 rebounds, 18 assists, 7 steals, and 6 blocks. I'll read that to you again so you can average this out, because the numbers work out pretty easily if you're into math, and I'm into math and like to educate. 82 points, that's 41 a game. 24 boards, that's 12 boards. 18 assists, that's 9 assists. 7 steals, that's 3.5 steals. 3 blocks, that's 3. 6 blocks, that's 3 blocks a game. So 41, 12, 9, 3.5, and 3. In back-to-back games since Klay Thompson foolishly called out the king. And guess I'm back to calling him the king. I still feel weird calling another man king. But the way he's played the last two games, you have to call him by his chosen nickname. I won't go with the back tat of the chosen one. I'll go with king. LeBron is the best player in the game. If ever there was a moment, a signature moment of this, you know what? Truth be told, the Cavs could go out and get blown out at Oracle tonight. But you know what I'm going to remember from this 7-game series? Is that block. That weak-ass pump fake. That weak-ass layup attempt by your unanimous MVP, your back-to-back MVP, Riley Curry's father. That weak-ass pump fake, that equally weak-ass layup attempt, and LeBron swatting it into the fifth row. And then talking that talk right after. That's what I've been waiting for. That's what we needed to see. That's what I needed to see. To feel confident that they could go into Oracle and get Game 7. Now, they may not. But that will be the image that is seared into my memory when somebody mentions 2016 NBA Finals. Oh, you mean when LeBron sweated that weak-ass pump fake, weak-ass layup of Steph Curry's into the fifth row? Yeah, I remember that series. I remember that vividly. And LeBron talking that talk, people have been, you know, LeBron takes a lot of L's. He takes a lot of heat for the hairline. He takes a lot of heat for him trying to talk smart when he's not really strong in the diction area. Quite frankly, to me, he doesn't get enough heat for them trash-ass sneaks he be putting out. Those kicks are trash, but, you know, you guys seem to like him, so I guess it's all good. You certainly like him more than them trash-ass Curry 2s. But LeBron takes a lot of heat for the fact that he left, how he left, the fact that he was self-appointed at 17 to be the chosen one, all of that stuff. But in the end, he's a dude who can ball. And he could ball out like no other before him. And possibly none other after him. When it was all said and done, in two back-to-back elimination games, 82, 24, 18, 7, and 6. In two straight games, with a team that was keying on stopping you. 82 points when they're trying to stop you. 24 boards when they're catering lineups specifically to stop you. 18-7-7 when they're running everything they can to counteract what you're doing. You still drop 82-24-18-7-6. Absurd. Completely absurd. No more talk about Steph being best of the game. I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear it. LeBron's the best in the game. That weak-ass layup and that weak-ass pump fake and LeBron sending that shot 5 rows deep into the stands was the signature moment, and all I needed to see that King James is that dude. And he could still lose tonight. That's the problem. Curry and Klay could get hot from the outside, and some will forget 82-24-18-7-6. They'll just say, oh, 73-9, back-to-back championships, best team of all time. Erasing the memory of 82-24-18-7-6. Remember those numbers, you're going to hear them a lot. 82-24-18-7-6. How are you going to erase the memory of that? The Dubs could go out here, Klay, the Splash Brothers can go off, which will be for the first time in this whole series that they've gone off together. They can go off. They could combine for 70, combine for 80, and blow the Cavs out. But it won't erase 82-24-18-7-6. Steph could have his wife tweet while he's at the podium. It won't matter. LeBron James, that 6'8", 250-pound monster from Akron, is the best player in the National Basketball Association. So now that we've moved on past that, I hope now we can agree. If you don't agree, hit me up at TheSamD on Twitter. I hope we can move on from this. There should be no argument here. You want to say, oh, Steph's a better shooter? That's only one small aspect of the game. We're talking 82-24-18-7-6 when your team was on the verge of elimination. I don't want to hear no more about Steph being the best in the game. I don't want to hear no more about Steph having the best handles in the game. Because how many times have you seen the alleged best player in the game be isolated on defense, specifically every single possession? Anybody with the ball with Steph guarding him is getting the rock on an ISO because they know he's Swiss cheese. That they've never said that about LeBron. They've never said that about Kobe before. They've never said that about Duncan, Jordan, all the greats you can name. From the 2010s, the 2000s, 90s, 80s, never has the arguably the best player in the league at that time been isolated possession after possession because they're that trash on D. That's why I don't want to hear no more about Steph being the best in the league. When Richard Jefferson, Iman Shumpert are getting post-ups and are calling screaming for the ball because they've got the MVP in the paint, I don't want to hear no more about that MVP being the best in the game. But let's break down this game, though. What are we going to see tonight? The Cavs are not running no offense at all. It's whoever's guarding Steph, post up or ISO. Give the ball to LeBron. Let LeBron be Magic Bron out there and move the ball around and create. Kyrie has found his groove, which is he realized he is better offensively than what Klay and Steph and anybody else on the Dubs can do defensively. The switch has finally caught on and clicked off in his brain. I'm better with the ball than these guys are at stripping me of the ball or blocking my shot. Let me just keep crack. He had Steph on skates. I know you saw it the other night. It looked like something out of a blooper reel. He had Steph on skates in them trash ass Curry 2s. What a fall for your unanimous MVP. What a bad week it's been for your unanimous MVP. He has taken L's with his shoes. He has taken L's on the court. He has taken L's with the refs. And now his wife is taking L's. This might be the worst week of young Stephen Curry's life. I don't know what you guys are thinking out here, rocking these Curry 2s or supporting a guy who's focused on rocking Under Armour, all Under Armour everything, when you got a guy who's out here throwing his mouthpiece into the crowd. Like a petulant little child, throwing, flinging, slinging, whatever adjective you want to use, slinging a mouthpiece, a chewed up, slobbered on, all game mouthpiece into the crowd. Hit a fan in the front row. That's obviously, it was not intentional. The fan just happened to be part of the Cavs ownership group, the son of one of the owner, part of the owners of the Cavs ownership group. But that's what you have here. Now look, were all six of those Steph Curry fouls fair? No. I will not lie to you. I will not lie to you guys on the Pick and Pop podcast on SoundCloud.com/ShieldFreeSports. I will not lie to you saying that all six fouls were legitimate fouls. But were all three of Kevin Love's fouls in the first half legit? No. Bad reffing all around. Good reffing would not have saved either Steph or Kevin. It really didn't matter. To me, it balanced out. They didn't leave Kevin Love in the game long enough for him to foul out. And plus, he was ineffective, so it really didn't matter. But Steph, three of those fouls were probably not legit fouls. But the problem is, he was playing with four, and he got his fifth. He was playing with five, and he got his sixth. He was still reaching in, gambling, which gave these bad refs every opportunity to keep calling fouls on him. So I do not think the game is rigged, Aisha. But I do think your mans needs to stop reaching in all the goddamn time. Time after time, he's reaching in on Kyrie. He was trying to box out Kevin Love and took a swipe after he couldn't get the rebound. Making dumb plays that get unanimous, back-to-back MVP, should not be making. The alleged best player in the game should not be making those kind of mental mistakes and physical mistakes when his team has a chance to close out and win a championship. I'm so hyped. I hope you can feel the energy that I have, because I'm thinking about this game already. I've been thinking about this game since Friday night, truth be told. All day yesterday, I was trying to keep it out of my mind, and now today, I woke up thinking, not only do I have to do a show, but I have to do a show and try to figure out in words how to explain how dope, how hype, and how pumped I am for this game 7 tonight. I said Cavs in 7. I said the only way the Cavs could win was Cavs in 7. Last podcast, when they were down 3-1, it looked like it was all she wrote. There was nothing I could do about that. Like, it looked like it's about to be a wrap. But they found a way. 82-24, 18-7-6 happened, and now it's game 7 at Oracle. And I think the Cavs could definitely walk into Oracle and get this W. Because the Dubs here are falling apart down the stretch. Steph and Clay, you can't really guarantee both are going to go off. I mean, ever since game 3, you've had one or the other have that traditional Splash Brothers spurt. But neither one has been hot at the same time. That's been huge for the Cavs. Harrison Barnes has lost more money in this series than anybody gambling. He was about to cash out and be a free agent. Be the member of the back-to-back champions, the record-setting regular season win total champions. And now he has been absolutely dreadful for this entire series. You really know what Harrison Barnes is out here doing? 9 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And, oh, by the way, he's shooting 36% from the floor and 28% from three and only 50% on his free throws. And that guy wants max money. That's a guy that's going to want max money. He's going to want a team with a lot of salary cap room. Hello, L.A. To back up the Bridge truck and let him roll in there and just take all the cap space. All the cap space in the world out here. New TV deal, revenue kicking in, big spot. Just play your game and you're going to get paid. And Harrison Barnes is out here shooting 28% from three. And wide open threes. These aren't contested threes. The Cavs are letting him shoot because they know he's trash right now. 28% from three, 36 from the floor, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 1.5 assists. So right now, both Splash Brothers aren't going off. So it's pick your poison. Either Steph's going to go off or Klay's going to go off, but they're both going to go off in a spurt, never consistently throughout the game. So the Cavs have won that battle. Harrison Barnes has been trash. Iggy, my boy, Andre Iguodala, has an old man back. And as somebody who has thrown out his back before, it pained me to watch Andre Iguodala try to run up and down that court with an obviously seized back. You can't do too much of anything when your back is jacked up like that. So now your best defender for LeBron, who no matter what, even though he has Andre Iguodala, who, you know, is not a LeBron stopper because there is no stopping LeBron, but is a guy who can physically compete and hang with LeBron, that guy now has a jacked up back. So now you're going to depend on Draymond, the number two habitual nut hitter in the league, to now defend a guy who just came off, repeat it with me, 82, 24, 18, 7, and 6 in back-to-back games. And now again, as much as y'all want to pump up Draymond, Draymond's only 6'5", 6'6 at the most. He's going to stop Bron? He's going to stop 82, 24, 18, 7, and 6? I don't think so. I mean, damn sure didn't last game. He wasn't there for game 5. Granted, all right, so LeBron goes off drop 41. Then the natural belief for Dub Shills was, okay, well, Draymond's back. LeBron not going off. Then LeBron put up another 41. So with or without Draymond, you're getting 40 dropped on you. Sean Livingston, everybody was falling in love with that mid-range jump shot, missing in action. The best guy off the bench for the Dubs has been Barbosa. He's averaging the same amount of points as Harrison Barnes, if you could believe that. In way less minutes. And shooting 44% from three and 65% from the floor. But Bosa's out here getting buckets. So again, the Warriors during the regular season and even early on into these playoffs, everybody lauded the depth, all the depth of the Warriors. They're so deep. They're about 10 guys deep. Where's that depth now? I don't see too much of that depth. What depth you mean? Festus Ezeli? Maurice Spates? They give a minutes to James Michael McAdoo, dog. That's McAdoo's getting minutes out here. Brandon Rush was on the court. This is the depth you guys were going on and on about during the 73-9 in the first 3 rounds of the playoffs. This is what you were lauding? Well, they could bring out Sean Livingston and his 6'8", you know, light, his 6'8 length and his great mid-range jump shot. Okay. Is he stopping Bron or Kyrie, though? No. So, you know, they were lauding the depth of their bigs, Festus Ezeli, Mo Spates. You want to know what they're doing so far? In 8 minutes, Festus Ezeli is giving you 2 points. And in 5 minutes, Mo Spates, who's out here calling himself Mo Buckets, 2 points in 5 minutes of action. And it's in Varejao. Everybody made a big deal about that pickup. 6 minutes a game, 1 point. So where's his death? Where's the warrior's death? I have not seen it. It's been null and void. Maybe because it was overhyped to begin with. But you know what's not overhyped? LeBron dropping 41 in back-to-back games and Kyrie deciding I'm not going to be stopped by anybody wearing yellow and blue. Now maybe Klay and Curry decide to do that tonight. Maybe Klay and Curry decide nobody's going to stop us from getting these threes off. Maybe they do that. Signs are that they're not, because they've been roughing up Steph, and Klay is afraid to take twos. I don't get this. What's up with Klay not being able to finish at the rim strong? He's about 6'6", 6'7". And he's going to the court, he's going to the cup with layups. Turn it over, young man. Flush that. So many dynamic storylines to this. Now, how do you look at what Draymond's done? Draymond did nothing in Game 6. He's home for Game 7. You would like to think he'll be embraced by the Oracle crowd. They'll try to pump him up because he is apparently the heart and spirit of this dub team. But Draymond Green has done nothing this entire series. Besides, you know, hit guys in the nuts and kick and call LeBron a bitch and all types of stuff. Besides that, he's been very inactive. But this small ball lineup is predicated on him playing the center. But with LeBron doing, let's say it again, make sure I pull it up here and accurate, 82, 24, 18, 7, and 6, with and without Draymond on the court, how much faith do you have in Game 7 that he's going to find a way to curtail that, especially with Iggy having a horrible back right now? I don't have any faith in that. Nothing prior has shown me that Draymond could do anything to slow down LeBron. This is a tired cliche, it's a sad cliche to use, but with LeBron, it really does matter. The only one who can stop LeBron is LeBron. If LeBron decides to go out here and chuck up J after J after J and not go to the rim and turn it over, then it's going to be lights out for the Dubs because those threes are eventually going to fall. But if LeBron decides I'm going to the rim with reckless abandon a la Russell Westbrook, but with a higher basketball IQ than Russell Westbrook, knowing when to pass, knowing when to finish at the cup, knowing when to swing the ball out, then it's going to be another 82, 24, 18, 7, and 6 type average. If I'm LeBron, I would go into this game saying I have to put up at least 35. You get 35 from Bron, maybe even more. You might need more. You're going to need more than 30 from Kyrie. And you need one of those other guys. I don't think they're going to combine for 82 again. That was remarkable what they did in Game 5 at Oracle, especially. They need one of those role players to step up. Is this a Kevin Love game? Will this be the game Kevin Love earns his burgundy, wine, and gold stripes with the Cavs and Cavs fans? Will it be JR? Will JR torture Knicks fans in a Game 7 by going bananas from 3? Will Tristan Thompson follow up a very strong and dominant double-double on the road this time, though? Is Richard Jefferson going to turn back the clock one more time, one more game, and get buckets and play strong defense and just be an all-around solid role player playing within his role? The Cavs are rolling right now. And with all that said, they can still get blown out of here in Oracle in Game 7. That's the problem. My basketball mind is telling me the Cavs are winning tonight. But in my heart, I'm like, but the Dubs are at home. Steph and Klay haven't gone off in one game together. And they can easily both put up 30 in a quick spurt and get the Cavs up out the paint so quickly and viciously like they did the first two games. But I'm going to stick with the Cavs in 7 tonight. Now, remember where you heard it first. You didn't hear it on anybody from ESPN. Nobody on NBA TV. You heard here early, weeks ago, Cavs in 7. you will get a show from me post game 7. It'll probably be sometime Monday evening. Put a bow on this NBA season. Put a bow on what has been a phenomenal NBA Finals. A Finals that I will remember for a very long time. Not so much for the gameplay. Although the gameplay has been good. But if you look at the scores do not look like the games have been competitive. And at times they have not been. But there's been that sense, that thrill of the back and forth numerous times throughout all 6 of these games so far. And I'm sure game 7 will be the same. This is a finals that will not only mark the legacy of LeBron and mark the legacy of Steph, but this could be a franchise-altering win for Cleveland or franchise-altering defeat for the Warriors. And those are just two great, juicy storylines that I'm looking forward to watching play out tonight at Oracle, 8 o'clock, Game 7. So that'll do it for me. I'm glad I was able to check in and give you guys a little something. My name is Sam Dusenberry. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD, TheSamD, SoundCloud.com/ShieldFreeSports is the site. I'll talk to you tomorrow night.